From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, October 20th. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Larico. Data centers are fundamentally changing the landscape for electric utilities in Missouri and beyond.
In effect, utility profits go up and everybody's bills go up as well.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke talks with Harvard Law School's Ari Pesko about data centers and energy bills. That's coming up on The Gateway. More than a dozen communities held No Kings rallies on Saturday across the St. Louis area to protest the Trump administration. Thousands of people gathered in Keener Plaza in the largest of the demonstrations. Among the protests was a gathering in Ruby Red St. Peter's that drew hundreds of people. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
Soggy protesters lined a strip of Route 70 by the Mid Rivers Mall in the rain as drivers honked to support signs reading, "Hands off healthcare," and "Protest is power, not a crime." St. Peter's resident Chris Kyle says it was only her second ever protest, following one last month opposing the Missouri GOP's gerrymander plan.
"I'm not an anarchist. I'm not Antifa. I'm just a personal citizen that is afraid for my country and my family and humans in general."
St. Peter's voters opted for Trump in November by 16 points. Protesters also rallied against Trump Saturday in downtown St. Louis, Granite City, Illinois, and throughout the region. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education will introduce its new interim leader this afternoon, just days after firing the district superintendent. The board voted Friday to fire Superintendent Millicent Borishade without cause. Borishade had served in the top role for just over a year and previously served as deputy superintendent and chief of schools. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Hiba Ahmed was at the district's downtown office and spoke to Borishade immediately after the meeting.
"What did they say to you? Just
today is your last day. You are terminated."
The board later named Myra Berry as the district's interim superintendent. Berry, who will be introduced later today, has been the district's interim chief of human resources since 2023. The sudden announcement came as the district was set to restart conversations around school closures today, but that event has been canceled. Boeing and the Machinists Union have agreed to resume negotiations with a federal mediator today. This comes after the union filed an unfair labor practice complaint against the company on Thursday. Today will mark the beginning of the 12th week that Boeing workers have been on strike. The last negotiation meeting nearly 3 weeks ago failed when the company offered the same contract union members had already voted down. There have not been further talks since then. At least 600 free meals have been served and $15,000 have been raised by the Metro East organizations to support Scott Air Force Base employees affected by the federal government shutdown. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports it's all part of a restaurant and business association's efforts to help Scott employees.
Scott Air Force Base employs 13,000 people between service members, civilians, and contractors. Active duty members recently got paid, but across the nation, half of the civilian Defense Department employees have been furloughed. Swansea-based Social Kitchen has supported some military families with free meals for the last year and a half. Restaurant and food truck owner John Michel is a retired general. He says their demand has gone up in recent weeks.
"We may take the uniform off, but we will always have an affinity to those who continue to serve in their families, and it's the right thing to do. Even though right now we're seeing, unfortunately, kind of a breakdown in leadership, we see it as an opportunity to exert like our own ability to help fill the gap."
The Leadership Council of Southwest Illinois has also been collecting cash and other donations. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A $500 million development plan for the North St. Louis Riverfront is in doubt after the Trump administration slashed Biden-era energy grants. The Department of Energy ended a $197 million grant for Israel-based ICL Group's plant to produce materials for lithium batteries. Energy Secretary Chris Wright says the department canceled nearly $7.6 billion worth of grants nationwide. In a report to shareholders last week, ICL Group weighed canceling the 120,000-square-foot development, but no final decision has been made. The project was expected to create 150 jobs in an underdeveloped area of the city, but it had its critics. The Missouri Coalition for the Environment called the project environmental racism and said the plant would worsen air quality in a part of the city with the highest amount of asthma-related hospitalizations. A Republican Missouri congressman wants to overhaul the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, part of the plan involves a major shift in how FEMA is overseen.
U.S. Representative Sam Graves is sponsoring bipartisan legislation aimed at, among other things, making the FEMA individual aid process more straightforward. He also wants to have FEMA be an independent agency as opposed to being within the Department of Homeland Security. Graves says this change could make the federal government more responsive when disaster strikes.
And this does make FEMA directly responsible or accountable to the President of the United States, whoever that may be.
While President Donald Trump has said he wants to eliminate FEMA, Graves says a better approach is changing how the agency operates and giving states more ability to respond to disasters. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
As large data centers move into the St. Louis region, they will require huge amounts of electricity. Ari Pesco is the director of the Electricity Law Initiative at Harvard Law School. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grunke spoke with Pesco about how data centers are fundamentally changing the electric utility landscape in the U.S.
Utilities have a peculiar business model where their profits are tied to how much money they spend on physical infrastructure. So the more power lines and power plants they build, the more profitable they are. These new data centers are using so much energy, as much as a large U.S. city, that the utility needs to build a lot of new infrastructure. And so these are enormous profit opportunities for the utilities. And the other component of the utility business model is that typically when it builds something, it spreads the costs of that infrastructure to everyone. In effect, utility profits go up and everybody's bills go up as well.
And our local electric utility, Ameren, is telling state regulators it has a lot of potential huge customers in its pipeline, and it's projecting some really big growth numbers in the need for energy. You wrote that utilities have an incentive to provide optimistic projections about growth. Why is that?
So Ameren is a for-profit company. It has a stock that, you know, trades on a stock exchange. And some of the information that it puts out is designed for investors and potential investors. And if it tells investors that it sees a lot of growth in demand, that's going to translate into capital spending, building more infrastructure, and ultimately more profits for the company.
And I've also heard some concerns around stranded assets. So basically, if we build the infrastructure for these data centers to come in, and then they either don't end up needing as much power as they're projecting, or they don't even come here at all. So how could electric prices be affected by that situation of stranded assets?
Yeah, this is a huge risk because there's so many uncertainties about the development of artificial intelligence and data centers. More broadly, there's a possibility that we're in a bubble right now. If the utilities do build out a lot of new infrastructure and the data centers never show up or they use less power, the utilities may very well go to regulators and say, we want everyone else to pay for this infrastructure that we thought was going to be paid at least in part by the data centers.
This year, Missouri's state legislature passed a law requiring utilities to create what are called tariffs for large load customers over 100 megawatts. These policies are supposed to protect other customers from unfairly paying for the cost to power the data centers. What are the potential upsides and downsides of tariffs like these?
So the idea here is let's recognize that the costs of serving these computing facilities is so massive that they should have their own rate structure designed to recover all of the costs associated with providing energy to these facilities. So that's a good step to kind of isolate these data centers from everybody else, but the devil really is in the details. I think it'll be important to watch the debate that's happening right now at the Public Service Commission, pay careful attention to what consumer advocates are saying and other consumer groups and the criticisms that they have of the utilities proposals. It seems that every day across the country, there are just numerous announcements about these data centers. They're not all going to get built. And I think it's important to make sure that the utilities aren't spending money until they really know that these projects are real and they have financial commitments from these facilities that are going to cover costs.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke talking with Harvard Law School's Ari Pesco. To see a map of the largest data center projects in Missouri, go to stlpr.org. Jessica Rogan edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.